When we read the Bible, we see clearly that the Bible gives us two ways. There are two ways and two destinies. There is a way to eternal destruction, and there is a way to the heaven, eternity and glory with Christ. And the Bible clearly talks about the day of judgment. There will be one day that everyone will need to stand before this judge, before a righteous God. As we read in the book of Revelation, we see about the great white throne. And everyone has to come. We don't have anything to in that sense, to protect ourselves. We will stand there naked. And the small and the great will stand before him. And those whose name is not written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. And this is the important question for us all. Are we written in this book of life? That's the most important question. Are we written in the book of the Lamb? Is your name written in the book of life? And when we are sitting here in the church, week after week, the gospel is preached. What are we doing with this gospel? Are we accepting it? Are we kneeling down before this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Or are we rejecting it? And our subject this evening is the invitation of Jesus Christ. And the invitation is easy to understand, the word come. And to believe in him. And by believing in him, to be written in the book of life. And when we go to this passage, we see in the first place the prayer of Jesus. And we see his authority. Who is this Jesus? And then his call or the invitation to come. In the first place, his prayer. And we see the setting, if we read about this, that Jesus had sent his 12 disciples to the people of Israel to preach about the kingdom, about the coming kingdom, about the Messiah. And we also see that many, many rejected this gospel. Many rejected the word which was preached. And we see that Jesus Christ, he rebuked the cities because they did not repent. And they had seen a lot of miracles. They had seen many things that Jesus had done to show and to prove his authority, his might and his power. And then we see what this Jesus is doing in this situation. He praised his Father for his sovereign goodness. And is this not directly a kind of application for us? When we know Christ, when we are in Christ, and we are coming into a kind of situation which is so difficult or hard to understand, we see in the midst of the rejection of the cities, they rejected Christ. What is Christ doing? He answered, "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and the earth." And thanksgiving is a proper answer to every situation in our life, even when we face difficulties. When we often think, how is this possible? How to go further along this road or this way? With Christ, he gives thanks to his Father. He who is the creator of all things, he who is the Lord of all things. And even when people didn't listen to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they rejected him, Christ is the Son of God and God is Lord over heaven and the earth. He is reigning. And that's the truth. The truth is that God is reigning in the heavens. And Christ is celebrating and giving praise. And what is the reason for this thanksgiving? Jesus, he thanks the Father and he says that you had hidden these things from the wise and the understanding. What are these things? Well, that are the things of the gospel. Things according to salvation, according to reconciliation, according to the cross. Why the Son had to be born in the flesh? Why he had to die on the cross? And the next question is to whom it is hidden. That you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. It is hidden for those who are searching salvation in the things of the earthly wisdom. Those who are trying to find salvation in the earthly things. Those who try to find salvation in human skills. Or to find salvation in human philosophy. Or in any earthly profession or teaching. When we look to the Bible, when we read, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Earthly wisdom does not last forever. Isaiah 29:14. And there will be a moment that all our science, the earthly science, will end. But if we look to the worldly science, what is the great discovery of this century? Well, the greatest discoveries of this century is, for example, they detected gravitation waves. Well, interesting, but it's nothing of eternal value. The next thing is they found evidence for water on Mars. Great. Nothing of eternal value. The next discovery is the existence of dark matter. Nothing of eternal value. So you can see when you are trying to find it in this kind of category, it is not of eternal value. And there will be a moment that science will end. The wisdom of the wise and the wisdom of man shall perish. And there is only one wisdom which will stand, and that's God's wisdom. That will stand forever. And what is God's wisdom? What is God's wisdom? Paul tells about God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is the cross on Calvary, which is foolishness for this world. But it's God's wisdom. And it's the question to us. What do you want to be called? A wise person in this world? And to be called foolish by God? Or do you want to be called a fool in this world, but a wise man in God's eyes? We see that God is hiding these things for those who are searching it in wisdom. Those who are searching it in the worldly things. But he revealed them to little babies. To little babes. And this is a great mystery for us. Because God reveals it to those who are needy. If we look to an image of a picture of a babe, a small child, it's helpless. It's helpless from the self. A child is something which needs care from the parents. It needs care from the father and mother. A child is weak from itself. And a child does not see himself as mighty or powerful or able to do anything. No, the only thing that the child can do, a baby can do, is cry when he has hunger or she has hunger. And the mother will hear the sound of the cry and immediately she will go to the baby and help and give the food it needs. There is a kind of an utter dependence on the parents. And so this is the thing that we need to have. We need to be utter dependent on him and not on our wisdom. But we are need to be utter dependent on him alone. But also, it means also another thing if we imply this when we talk about its reveal to babes. Because it means that the doctrines of the gospel, they are easy to understand. and even a child can know what it means to trust and rely upon Christ Jesus. And the gospel is not about the worldly wisdom, but it's about simplicity. It's about simplicity and easy to understand. God reveals his gospel to babes, little children who are helpless in themselves, and them a spiritual sight given. And Jesus affirmed this. You must become a child. You must become someone who is crying like a spiritual beggar, crying for spiritual food. And it was God's plan to be merciful to the least, to the despised, to the one who is the smallest. It's not about to be a big person in this world, but it's to be just a small babe. It's the sovereign counsel and the purpose of God to give spiritual sight to the most helpless people. And what does it also mean? When we are reading the Bible and God gives us the sight of who we are in the sight of a righteous and holy God. When we are seeing ourselves as sinful beings. That makes us, in that sense, helpless because we can't clean ourselves. We can't take away the sins by ourselves. And there's only one way to take away the guilt of sin. It's by the cross of Jesus Christ. And we see in this the love of God for his creation. And God's will is to reveal himself to the people, but not through the humanly wisdom. So we praise God the Father for the fact that this salvation is not as found in human wisdom. And we praise God for the fact that the gospel is easy to understand. And that even if we are talking to our little children, we can explain them about the gospel. And they are able to bow down and praise God in their prayers. And the child, it represents someone who is depending on his mother. And so we are depending on God. And becoming a Christian is not by following a kind of certain program to have the tick boxes to say, okay, I'm a member of the church, or I'm baptized now, or I read the Bible daily. But it is to trust and rely upon Jesus Christ, to have the simple faith and trust. And the question is, are you like a child, longing for spiritual food, longing to be reconciled with God and forgiven? And the way is to trust in Jesus Christ. He is the way to salvation. And this brings us at our next point, the authority of Jesus. Because who is this Jesus? Who is he who is able to save? Because Christ, he says, he reigns with authority. And he is fully one with God the Father. And note how Jesus declared his authority. Verse 27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things. All things are handed over to him. By his Father, who is the Lord of the heaven and the earth. And we see that's all the physical things. But also the spiritual things. But in the first place we see, for example, there is a quote of Abraham Kuyper. And he says, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. It all belongs to Christ. This earth belongs to Christ. Everything is from Christ. He created it. And he rules over the heaven. He rules over all the angels. He rules over all the heavenly powers. He rules over this earth. And he is the one who reigns over the winds. And we see when we read the Bible, we see that Jesus Just one word and the wind stops blowing. He reigns over the sun. He reigns over the moon and the stars. He reigns over all the kingdoms of this earth. And he is reigning over every living creature. And that's the truth. He is the reigning king. Also over our lives. Every moment in our life, he is the King of the kings and Lord of the lords. And he has the power over life and over death. And the whole creation is subordinated to Christ Jesus. But also the glorious things, because to him belong all the perfection. To him belongs all the power, all the glory, all the promises, the treasures of wisdom, the knowledge, all the blessings of grace and the happiness, all the angels, the spirits. Because Jesus, he is one with God the Father. Jesus, he is equal in his glory. He is equal in the majesty of the Father. He is equal in the power as his Father. And God handed everything over to Christ. He is the supreme Son of God. The Bible says, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And in this, we see also the relation to God the Father and God the Son. Because Jesus, he is the real God-man. He is real God and he is real man. He is, those are the three in one, the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see the close relation between God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. They are one being. And Jesus declares also, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And Christ, he himself, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he is revealed through the Holy Spirit. He's revealed through the Scriptures. And today we are listening to his word. Through the instrument of the preaching, that we may hear his voice. Why is this important to know? Because this Jesus, he has the authority to say, come to me. And as we read from John 5, those who have a Bible can go with me to John 5. John 5 from verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So you see, the first thing is that Jesus is always following his Father. He is always acting in the way of the Father. He is always obeying God the Father. We see it when he is going to the cross and he is praying this prayer. Let your will be done. And he did go to the cross and he died on that cross. In his prayer, he is always listening to God the Father. He is always searching for the will of God the Father. Always meditating upon the things of his Father. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. We see also that Jesus has the authority to bring people to life, to raise dead people, to replace a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. To open the eyes of the blind. To open the ears of the deaf. Verse 21. For as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but passes from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is now when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son to have life in himself. This is the Jesus who raised from the dead. And he has the power to give life to those who are dead in sins. And therefore the message of the gospel brings life. The message of Jesus Christ that he died on the cross, it gives life to those who trust in him. And everyone who has listened and obeyed Jesus, they will have eternal life. And Jesus, he has complete authority over life and over death. And his word is preached today. He is the one who gives life. Jesus' words are the words of life. This is the voice of the Son of God, which brings dead hearts to life. And I was reading a story the other day, and it was about a man. He had cancer, and he was very, very ill and sick. And it was one opportunity to lengthen his life. But it was a treatment with a kind of drug which the effects were dramatic because it caused a lot of pain and it caused a lot of hardship. And he said, well, yes, I want this kind of drug. And he tried for a while, and after a while he said, well, this is so hard. He was walking in the hospital, and he thought, well, I will quit. I will stop this drug because it's so hard. I cannot bear this. And when he was walking back to his room, he walked accidentally in a children's ward where children were who also had cancer. And he took a chair and was looking to this little children. And then one of the little children, a girl, came to him and asked him this question. Are you going to live? Or are you going to die? And this question, it was like it burned into his mind. And he thought, well, and he said to this girl, I'm going to live. And he did go on with this drug. But this is the question to us. There is one medicine in our life to be healed. And that's the medicine of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only medicine. And he is the right medicine to give you the eternal life. And the question is, do you listen to his wonderful, sweet voice? Do you hear the melody of his wonderful voice? Blessed if you are listening to him. And that you can say, amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And this brings us to our third and last point. The calling of Jesus himself. He says, come to me. And today, through the gospel, Jesus calls the sinners to come to him. Come to me, who are heavy laden. And this voice of Jesus is going out to search for sinners. Those who are indeed spiritual beggars. Who can't find it in themselves, but who need salvation from Jesus Christ. to raise dead people, to raise them from the dead and to give them eternal life. And he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. When we listen to his voice, it's the most beautiful voice we ever will hear. To hear this from the lips of Jesus Christ, come to me. It is better than any melody we can hear on this world. And even when we listen to beautiful music like Bach or Beethoven, it bring probably tears in our eyes, but it's just emotion. But if we listen to the voice of Jesus Christ, it will turn our life, it will turn our heart. And Jesus, he says, come to me. And if we look to the word come, it is one of the most easy to understandable words. And even the most little children, they know the word come. When our children grew up, when they were very little and they were able to walk, and you call them, come, they knew that the father or mother is calling to come, and they turn to you. Or sometimes they turn the other way, the other direction. That's also happening. And now that, at that moment, you see that children, they take often a very dangerous decision. Because you see the moving cars and the child is turning away from you. Or if we see that one of the children and it's fallen and it's bleeding on her or his knee. And it's crying. And then suddenly hears the voice of the father of the mother. Come. And then the child will come and run to the parents to get rest and comfort. And so it is with us. Are we like a child and turning away and running away from this voice? Or are we like this child and knowing that we are hurted and that we are sinners, that we need help and comfort? And this invitation goes out to all men, all sinners. And these words of Jesus Christ are not just simple words, but he speaks these words with tears in his eyes because he knows what it costs. He laid down his life for sinners. He gave his life. He paid that price. He came down from heaven to become a man, to become like us. In everything. And in the end, to die on this cursed cross, to give us life. And we see that Jesus Christ, he reached out with his golden scepter. And when we look to the old times, and when you came to a king, he had a scepter in his hand. And if the king did not reach out with his scepter to you, it could be the end of your life. But now Jesus Christ is coming to you, saying, come to me. And he's reaching out his golden scepter. And you are able to touch it. And to get forgiveness. To be forgiven and to cleanse from your sins. And this is the call of the gospel. Come. And this is the good news for today. Come to Jesus. And probably you think, well, I'm not able to come. Could be that you think, well, okay, I'm such a big sinner. I've done so many things wrong. I've sinned so many times. I'm not worthy to come to Jesus. Jesus says, come. Probably you say, well, I'm too old to come to Jesus. I live my whole life in the world. Why should I come to Jesus? Jesus says, come. Or probably you read your Bible and you say, well, there's a kind of election. Am I elected? Jesus says, come. We have to respond to this message. When Jesus said to the man with the lame hand, stretch out your hand. In fact, he was not able to stretch out his hand. But because Jesus is saying this word, he was able to stretch out his hand. And so it is with the gospel. And look at the Savior at the cross. Look at that picture that Jesus Christ hung at the cross. And look at to his eyes full of love towards those who hated him, who rebelled against him. And still he had love for them. He died for them on that cursed cross. And maybe you think, what does it mean to come? What does it mean to come and to listen to Jesus? Well, just as I said, it's not to say, okay, I do my baptismal, I got me baptized, and I am a Christian. That's not the way to say, okay, to trust in Jesus. It's not a kind of ritual. It's not to say, okay, I become a member of the church. It's not by following the catechism. But to come to Jesus is to trust in his finished work on the cross, on Calvary. To come to Jesus is to have faith in Jesus. To come to Jesus is to rely fully upon him and to surrender your life fully to him. To come to Jesus is to repent from your sins and turn away from this world and turn to him. To come to Jesus is also to acknowledge that you yourself did not deserve to be forgiven. To come to Jesus is to put all your hope in Christ. To come to Jesus is to say, Lord, I can't do anything on my own. It is all of you. It is all of grace. To come to Jesus is to drink from the living water. And he himself, he is the living water. To come to Jesus is also to rely upon the promises of the Bible. And to say, Lord, I trust in your word. I trust and I believe that these promises that you gave, that they are yes and amen to my life. And to rely fully upon his word. To come to Jesus is to go away from these earthly things and take away your trust on things of this world, but place your trust upon Jesus Christ. It is to look at the Savior, to trust in his death and in his resurrection and in his blood, and to come is to know that his blood was the only and the best sacrifice for your sins, your personal sins. It is to know that he dealt with your sin on that cursed cross. And to say, Lord, that cross on Calvary is my cross. I died on that cross in Christ. And to come to Christ is to embrace the truths of the cross. To embrace the truths of the cross and to fall on our knees before him. And this is the good news for all who will hear. Come to me. Come to me. All you who are labor. You know, this is unlimited grace. It's not limited by any age. It's not limited by any background. It's not limited by to be rich or to be poor. It's not limited by to be young or to be old. It's not limited to be man or to be a woman. No matter what kind of background you come from, come to me. Come to me. Trust and rely upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And trust that Jesus Christ indeed beared all the sin on the cross, which is too heavy for us to bear. And in dying at the cross, he opened the way to salvation. And it's the only way to salvation. And if we if our eyes are opened for the fact that we are sinners from ourselves, and we feel the weight of the sin heavily on ourselves, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And this is the burden we can feel because of our sins or because of our guilt. It's the burden of the insupportable yoke of the law of human traditions, probably. And you and I, we can be heavy laden by our sins. We can be heavy laden because the things of this world and the things of our flesh. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And we can bring all our burden to Jesus Christ. And when we go to Him in our prayer, He will listen. He is always, every second, every moment of our life, He is ready to listen. When we go to Him, He will listen. And He said, I will give you rest. This is the real rest. And not a physical rest, but a rest for our soul. And this is the immediate response when we go to Christ with our sins and with our guilt. There's an immediate response of the rest for our soul. He will give rest from the terror of sin. And He, in Him, we find a well-grounded peace. And just think for a moment to those who indeed follow this sweet voice of Jesus Christ. Those who indeed answered to His calling, come. Think for a moment to those who died in faith and in trust, who are now with Him, who are now in His glorious presence. And we can ask this question, are we then without pain or sorrows? If we follow Christ, no. We still have pain. We still have sorrows. But there is one thing. We can share it. We don't have to bear it alone. We can share it to Christ. And look to those who follow the Master. They have a light yoke. And they can endure hardship. Look to the lips to those who follow Jesus. If we read church history, and we see those who have been martyred because of the faith in Christ, people who are singing songs while they've been burned alive. Look to the lips of those who are burned alive. They spoke blessings. They didn't speak curses, but they spoke blessings. How is this possible? By the power of Jesus Christ. This is not a human power, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me that I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And He is a new master. Instead of the master of this world and the master of sin, who can keep you so hard under His yoke. But Jesus says, learn from me. And Jesus, He is the great teacher. He listened to our prayers. Even in hardship and hard times. And the question is, do we all have this feeling that we need this Christ Jesus? Do we recognize from ourselves that we are sinners in ourselves? Because often we think from ourselves that we are a good person. How often you come across with a person and saying, well, I am a good person. I'm helping the poor. I'm doing my best. I don't steal. But the Bible teaches us that everyone is a sinner. Everyone needs this grace and needs this Savior. And there's one simple example. There are many examples you can give. And if we read, for example, that Jesus He says, if you look to a woman, you already have done idolatry. Or I was thinking to another example, which Peter Master a while ago gave, and I was listening to a sermon of him, and he said, if we look to the hypocrisy of our hearts, he said, well, let me give you one example. If you're walking down the street, and someone is coming in front of you walking, and you, in your heart, you hate this person, or you are very angry at this person, what are you doing? You set up a big smile, and you walk in front of him. But that's hypocrisy. You see, our heart is so full of sin, it is hypocrisy. And we all need forgiveness of our sins. Everyone. And he says, throw your sins on him. Cast your sorrows on Jesus Christ. And he is not unreachable. He is not too high. He is not hidden. But share your heart with him. Share your guilt with him. Share your sin and your rebellion with him. And the result of this share, when we share our sin and our guilt with him, you shall not be ashamed. You shall not be ashamed. There's not one single sinner who did go to the cross of Calvary, who did go to Jesus Christ, who was being ashamed. You will find rest for your soul. This is the great promise. The real rest is peace with God. And he will take away the fear of this world and the fear of entering his presence. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. How sweet it is to hear these words from the lips of this Savior. This is the opposite of the yoke of and the things of this world. And when we are looking to him and when we are going to the cross, then there will be this golden exchange. His righteousness, his holiness for my unrighteousness. On that cross, he took my guilt, and there's a golden exchange that I have his righteousness, his holiness. So we need to end, come to a conclusion. Jesus is invited to come, to believe in him, to trust in him. And I come back to the first question. Is your name written in the book of life? Is your name written in the book of life? Don't wait until tomorrow. The biggest lie, one of the biggest lies of the devil is to say, okay, tomorrow. The biggest lie is tomorrow. Next week, next year, I will finish this first. But today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but turn to Christ. Turn to Jesus. And Jesus, he is the only way. There's no other name given. There's no other way given than the only way, which is Christ Jesus himself. Do you believe in him? Do you trust that his death, his resurrection, is your death, your resurrection? My friend, if you're sitting here and you don't know him, please go to him. Cry it out. And it can be in your heart to say, oh Lord, I need your salvation. Help me to forgive me my sins. And I urge you to respond to this call of the Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you all to look away from the things of this world and to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ and the cross. Look to Christ. Jesus, he called, come to me. Repent and believe, and you are forgiven. and you will have eternal rest for your soul. Amen. We will sing our next hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on Which the Prince of Glory Died. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Let us sing in our hearts, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." God and Father in heaven, we praise you for giving us this wondrous cross. And Father, that you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to give us life. And Father, we pray that your word will work in our hearts, in our lives, and that we may, when we go from here, Father, that we may rejoice in Christ Jesus. Father, we praise you for giving us the opportunity to listen to your word. We praise you, Father, for giving all the rich blessings which flows out from Christ Jesus himself. Father, we ask you for a blessing for the coming days. Go with us, O Lord, and be in front of us so that we can walk in your ways, and lead us and guide us and help us in the tasks we have to do in the week which is in front of us. Father, we acknowledge we are not able to do anything without you. So we ask for your blessing. We ask for your nearness, your comforts. Father, we ask that you will be with us in all the things. And so, but may the God of all grace, who called to us his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.